It is appointed unto man once to die, and then cometh judgment. Welcome, everyone. I'm McDaniel Phillips, and this is Times of Refreshing, a ministry of Bethesda Hall in partnership with TWR Asia. Our host is author, teacher, and itinerant speaker, Kenneth Wong. Well, you know, there is a sense of finality in the words from the letter to the Hebrews chapter 9. It is appointed unto man once to die, and then judgment. Well, Kenneth has the evening off, and in his place, we welcome back Joe Reese, who will reflect on that verse and others with a program entitled The Final Event in Time.
Dear friend, it's a privilege and a pleasure for me to be here with you today to speak the Word of God to you today, wherever you are. If you're driving, if you're at home, if you're at work, listen to the living Word of God. One day, God is going to put a period on the final sentence, on the final paragraph, on the final page, on the final publication, and time as we know it will come to an end. However, there's one final event in time. Before the earth is destroyed with a fervent heat, and before God establishes a new heaven and a new earth, there is one final event in time. I will read it for you in the book of the Revelation, chapter 20 and verse 11. Please listen. And I saw a great white throne, and him that sat on it, from whose face the earth and the heaven fled away, and there was found no place for them. And I saw the dead, small and great, stand before God, and the books were open. And another book was open, which is the book of life. And the dead were judged out of those things which were written in the books, according to their works. And the sea gave up the dead which were in it, and death and hell delivered up the dead which were in them. And they were judged, every man according to their works. And death and hell were cast into the lake of fire. This is the second death. And whosoever was not found written in the book of life was cast into the lake of fire. We might ask ourselves the question, who is this judge? Who is the one who sits on this great white throne from whom the earth and the heaven fled away? Well, let me submit to you an article. This article was written in 1971 in a Youth Alive magazine. Please listen to this article as it describes the end of time. At the end of time, billions of people were scattered on a great plain before God's throne. Some of the groups near the front talked heatedly, not with cringing shame, but with belligerence. How can God judge us? How can he know about suffering? Snapped a joking brunette. She jerked back a sleeve to reveal a tattooed number from a Nazi concentration camp. We endured terror, beatings, torture, and death. In another group, a black man lowered his collar. What about this? He demanded, showing an ugly rope burn. Lynch for no crime but being black. We have suffocated in slave ships, been wrenched from loved ones, and toiled till only death gave release. Far out across the plain were hundreds of such groups. Each had a complaint against God for the evil and suffering he permitted in this world. How lucky God was to live in heaven where all was sweetness and light, where there was no weeping, no fear, no hunger, no hatred. Indeed, what did God know about what man had been forced to endure in this world? After all, God leads a pretty sheltered life, they said. So each group sent out a leader, chosen because he had suffered the most. There was a Jew, a black, an untouchable from India, and an illegitimate, a person from Hiroshima, and one from a Siberian slave camp. In the center of the plain, they consulted with each other. At last, they were ready to present their case. It was rather simple. Before God would be qualified to be their judge, he must endure what they had endured. Their decision was that God should be sentenced to live on earth as a man. But because he was God, they set certain safeguards to be sure that he could not use his divine powers to help himself. "Let him be born a Jew," one cried. "Let the legitimacy of his birth be doubted so no one would know who his real father is," said another. "Let him champion a cause so just, but so radical, that it brings down upon him the hate, condemnation, and eliminating efforts of every major traditional and established religious authority. Let him try to describe what no man has ever seen or tasted, heard, or smelled. Let him try to communicate God to men. Let him be betrayed by his dearest friends. Let him be indicted on false charges, tried before a prejudiced jury, and convicted by a cowardly judge. Let him see what it is to be terribly alone and completely abandoned by every living thing. Let him be tortured and let him die. Let him die the most humiliating death with common thieves." As each leader announced his portion of the sentence, loud murmurs of approval went up from the great throng of people. When the last had finished pronouncing sentence, there was a long silence. No one uttered a word. No one moved. For suddenly, all knew God had already served his sentence. Dear friend, the one who sits on that great white throne is none other than the person of Jesus Christ himself. For the Bible says God judges no man, but has committed all judgment unto the Son. Jesus Christ will and is the final judge of time and eternity. He will judge the living and the dead. Now, if I were not a Christian, if I didn't want to be a Christian, if I never planned on becoming a Christian, there are 2 days in the year that I would never go to church. You know what those days are. There are 2 days in the year when most people want to go to church who are not Christians, Christmas and Easter. I wouldn't go to church on Christmas or Easter if I was not a Christian and didn't want to become a Christian, because it is those 2 days, dear friend, that guarantee my judgment. Christmas representing the incarnation, Christ coming into the world, God in flesh, the man Christ Jesus, Emmanuel, God with us. And Easter representing the resurrection of Jesus Christ. You say, well, why is that important? Listen to this verse from Acts 17 and 31. God has appointed a day in which he will judge the world in righteousness by that man whom he hath ordained, wherefore he has given assurance unto all men, and that he hath raised him from the dead. The resurrection of Jesus Christ guarantees your judgment. You can't have court if the judge is dead. But the Lord God not only has raised his Son, Jesus Christ, for the last day and the last judgment, but God also raises the defendants. That is, we read in our text that the sea gave up the dead which were in it, and death and hell delivered up the dead which were in them. You see, when God calls, you come. You can't hide from this. You can't hide from God. God has all power. Jeremiah says it like this, "Am I a God at hand, says the Lord, and not a God afar off? Can any hide himself in secret places, says the Lord, that I shall not see him? Do not I fill heaven and earth, says the Lord?" Dear friend, let me tell you, in that day, in that final judgment, if you've not received Jesus Christ as your Savior, no matter where you are or who you are, when God calls, you come. You say, oh, well, I'll just die and I'll be buried and it'll be over. No, friend, the Bible's very clear. It is appointed unto man once to die, and after that, the judgment. Well, not only does this judge have all power, and when he calls, you come, but this judge has all knowledge. He's got the facts. It's not like a court case down here where we could lie or hire some attorney to get us off. The Bible is very clear. God keeps impeccable records. The books were open in verse 12, and they were judged out of the books according to their works. This judge has the facts. Every thought of the heart, every thought of the mind, every word you have ever said. Listen to Matthew 12 and 36. Every idle word that man shall say shall be given account thereof in the day of judgment. For by your words are you justified, and by your words you are condemned. When the Bible says that if a man looks on a woman in his heart and lusts after her, that he has committed adultery. The Bible says if a man hates another man, that he has committed murder. This judge has the facts. The books were open. But not only does this judge have the facts, not only when he calls do you come, but he will judge according to their works. You might say, well, good, there'll be justice. Oh, friend, let me tell you, you don't want justice. You want mercy. God shall bring every idle work into judgment with every secret thing, whether it be good or whether it be evil, Ecclesiastes 12 and 14. God not only has the facts, but he judges according to their works. The Bible is very clear, and the dead were judged out of those things which were written in the books according to their works. Justice would be one thing, but you and I need mercy. The Bible is very clear that if we have broken the laws of God, then we're in trouble with God. Most people think, well, I'm not doing too bad. I keep most of the Ten Commandments. James comes along in his epistle and says to us, whosoever shall keep the whole law and yet offend in one point is guilty of all. You say, well, I don't understand that. That doesn't seem to be fair. Friend, there wasn't just 10 commandments. There were 613 given to Moses. It governed every facet of an Israelite's life. 613 of them. You say, well, what does it mean if I've kept the whole law and yet offend in one point? Well, what that means is this, that unless you keep the whole law, you're in trouble with God. Let's suppose you were hanging over a fire by a chain of 10 links. Let's suppose that those 10 links represented the 10 commandments. How many of those links would have to break before you fall into the fire, dear friend? Well, you know, only one. And the Bible is very clear. If we keep the whole law and yet offend in one point, we're guilty of all. If you want mercy, you can have it. If you want love, you can have it. If you want forgiveness, you can have it. If you want grace, you can have it. But you must have it now. The Bible says today is the day of salvation. Dear friend, when this great white throne judgment comes, let me assure you, in that day there'll be no mercy. In that day there'll be no grace. In that day there'll be no love. In that day there'll be no forgiveness. It will only be condemnation and judgment. Yesterday is gone and tomorrow may never come. Today is the day of salvation. Well, we know that the judge is none other than Jesus Christ, but who are the judged? Who are those that stand before this great white throne? Well, in the scriptures we read this, and I saw the dead, the small and the great, stand before God. Well, we call them those out of the grace of God, because there is therefore now no condemnation to those who are in Christ Jesus. Well, this judgment is not for believers in the Lord Jesus. This judgment is for all of the Christ rejectors, the dead, the small and the great, the down and out and the up and out. They were all out of the grace of God. Let's break up society, if we could, for a moment, into several classes of people. Who makes up this great white throne of people who stand before the judgment? Well, let's suggest, first of all, is the out-and-out sinner. This is the person that you would pick. He is the criminal. He is the bad guy. He is the addict. He is the molester. This is the person who has no respect for God. They stand on their own 2 feet. They poke out their chest, and they wave their fist and a hand in the face of God and say, God, if there is a God, you're not big enough to make me serve you. Those people will certainly be at this great white throne. They're totally opposed to God in every way. But dear friend, let me tell you who will be standing next, shoulder to shoulder with the out-and-out sinner. Well, I call this class of people the self-righteous. This might be you. You say, I'm not a bad person. I'm trying to do good. I'm keeping the golden rule. Self-righteous person, depending on self. Oh, the Bible says that our righteousness, our goodness, is nothing more than filthy rags before a holy and a righteous God. For it's not by works of righteousness that we have done, but it's by His mercy that He saved us. Oh, yes, the self-righteous person, the proud, independent, arrogant, good guy that lives next door to you, if he's never trusted Christ, he'll stand shoulder to shoulder with the out-and-out sinner. But then let's think of another group that'll be at this great white throne judgment. I call them the church member. This is the person who's depending on their church affiliation and their baptism to get them into heaven. These are people who religiously attend meetings, who give their money, who light their candles, who say their prayers, who bow their heads, who serve a religion, and in doing so think that some effort of their own will gain favor with God, and therefore they think they're going to heaven. Oh, what a shock for these people who wake up at the great white throne judgment and find out that no church ever died for them, no church ever shed blood for them, that their baptism could not wash the sins of their soul away, but they are now before the judge of all of the earth, and there's no help. Oh, the church member, depending on religion or on their baptism to get them into heaven. Oh, friend, you don't want to be there at that day. You want to remember that it is not our association with a church or a philosophy or a religion, but it is our personal relationship with Jesus Christ and Him alone that is salvation. But the church member will be standing with the out-and-out sinner, with the self-righteous. They'll be there together. Let me suggest, out of many categories, let me suggest one more category. I call this category the procrastinator. This is the person who says, tomorrow I'm going to get saved. This is the person who says, I'm going to think about it. I'm going to pray about it. But they never cross the line. They never trust Christ as their Savior. Can I tell you, dear friend, tomorrow you'll have more sin to repent of, if there is a tomorrow, and less time to repent in. Anything you do long enough, you get good at, even saying no to Jesus Christ. Have you heard the gospel? Do you know that you're a sinner? Did you know that you're in trouble with a holy God? Have you ever bowed the knee and bowed the heart and repented of your sins and confessed Christ as the only Savior in the world? Dear friend, you need to do that today, for today is the day of salvation. But I can assure you that the road to hell is paved with good intentions. And there are people on earth today who said, tomorrow I'm going to get saved, but tomorrow never came. So the judge is none other than Jesus Christ. Those who are judged are the dead, those Christ rejectors, and they will be at the great white throne. And so the dead, the small and the great. Now we're going to ask ourselves this question. What is the judgment? Well, every trial has three parts. First, there is the evidence, then the defense, and then the verdict. The evidence. This is it. The books are open. The records are pulled out of the heavenly drawer, and they're open, and your name is on the record. This is your life. Things you did when nobody else was around, things you said when nobody else heard. When you were away on a business trip, mister, what you did and you left your wife behind. When you were in the military, things that you did. The housewife at home alone. The children away when the parents are gone. Things that we did in secret now is put on the big screen of heaven and God rolls it back. The books are open and we are judged out of those things which are in the books. Dear friend, let me tell you, cannot hide from this day. When God calls, you come. The facts are there. The books are open. The evidence is given. And what will you say? Well, you say, well, I didn't think it was true. Well, dear friend, I've read it right from the Scriptures, the book of the Revelation in chapter 20. You say, well, I didn't have any time. Listen to me. It takes 1 minute to be born. It takes 1 minute to die. It takes 1 minute to trust Christ as your Savior. You'd say, well, I didn't like the preacher. He told me I was going to hell. I didn't like that. Dear friend, listen to me for a moment. It would be nice if you liked me, but if you hate me, you better love Jesus, because that is the only hope that you have. Oh, yeah, I know what you're going to say. The Bible is very clear. You're going to say, guilty. Oh, dear friend, I know. You'll see that big, ugly mountain of sin mount up. The evidence is there, and your defense is really just going to be in agreement with God. You're going to have to say, guilty, guilty. God is right. Well, the evidence is given, defense is made, and then the verdict. What is the verdict? Let me read it for you once more. And whosoever was not found written in the book of life was cast into the lake of fire. I see a scene in heaven. I see the Lord Jesus sitting on a great white throne. I see one sinner from that multitude, that throng of people, come forth. The books are open. His name is called. The evidence is given. And now the verdict. And I see the Lord Jesus looking down to that person and say, I sent my message to you. I sent literature to you. I sent your family to you. I begged you. My spirit was pleading with you, and you would not come. You would not have me. He says to one of those angelic servants, open the book of life and see if his name appears. That angelic creature opens the book of life. Page after page, he turns. Finally, with horror, with terror on his face, he turns to the one on the throne and says, Master, his name does not appear. The Lord Jesus says, there can be no mistakes. Check it again. Double check the record. He looks through the book, but your name does not appear. The Lord Jesus, with tears streaming down his cheeks, said, I loved you. I died for you. I paid the penalty of sin for you, but you would not have me. Depart from me, you worker of iniquity, into the everlasting judgment, the fires of hell prepared for the devil and his angels. The Bible is very clear. Whosoever was not found written into the book of life was cast into the lake of fire. Those angelic servants will take you to the mouth of the abyss. And as you peer in where the devil and his demons are already cast, they cast you in there forever and ever and ever. Whosoever's name was not found written. You say, well, how do I get my name in the book of life? Dear friend, by bowing your head and bowing your heart, by admitting that you're a sinner, and that by grace and through faith you believe that God sent his Son into the world to save sinners, and that he sent him into the world to save you, by believing that Christ took your place at Calvary, by believing that he died, and on the third day he rose again from the dead. The Bible says, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved. Oh, dear friend, listen, you have an unbreakable meeting with Jesus Christ. You can either meet him today as the sacrifice, the Lamb of God who paid the penalty of sin for you, or you will meet him as the Lion of the tribe of Judah, your judge at the great white throne. The decision is up to you, friend. I made that decision 41 years ago on August the 29th, 1970, 9 o'clock in the morning. I trusted Christ as my Savior, and I settled my case out of court. Won't you do that today? Won't you please consider the Lord Jesus Christ as your own personal Savior?
How is your spiritual condition? When you see Jesus face to face, will it be as friend or foe? Thank you for that, Joe Reese. This is Times of Refreshing, a ministry of Bethesda Hall in partnership with TWR Asia. And I invite you to join us again tomorrow when Kenneth Wong returns with another reflection. Right now, though, we'd love to hear from you. Maybe you have a question or a comment for Ken. Send us a text message. The number is 9431-3813. Or if you're still using snail mail, send us a letter to Post Office Box 392, Thompson Road Post Office, Singapore, 915714. And Times of Refreshing is now on Facebook. You can join us there to meet up with other Times of Refreshing fans and share your thoughts and reflections. Also, I invite you to visit our website, www.timesofrefreshing.asia, and there you can listen to the program online, or you can download the brand new Times of Refreshing iPhone app so you can access any program or any podcast in the library. I'm McDaniel Phillips, inviting you to join us again for Times of Refreshing.